You know that's the sound of another sale on your online Shopify store. But did you know Shopify powers selling in person, too? That's right. Shopify is the sound of selling everywhere. Online, in-store, on social media, and beyond. Track every sale across your business in one place and know exactly what's in stock. Connect with customers in-line and online. Do retail right with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/truecrime.
Every day in America, 60 million packages are delivered. But we don't always know what's inside.
He bent down to pick the package up. That's when the device detonated.
Danger is everywhere, and no one is safe in Austin, Texas, as law enforcement hunts a serial bomber for 19 days. From Sony Music Entertainment, Campside Media, and Pegalo Pictures, this is Witnessed, 19 Days. Subscribe on Apple Podcasts to binge all episodes or listen weekly wherever you get your podcasts.
Thanks for listening to Reasonable Doubt on Podcast One. This is Beyond a Reasonable Doubt with your hosts, Mark Garagus.
1, 2, 3, 4. Those are numbers, but you already knew that. If you want to know what number you're going to pay each month for your car, use Kelley Blue Book My Wallet on Auto Trader. They're really good at numbers. Auto Trader.
Whether you're a morning person or a bedtime procrastinator, everyone deserves a mattress that works for their style. And you'll find the best mattress for you at Ashley. The new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley brings you one-of-a-kind body-conforming technology, making every sleep tailored to be your best. The collection also features cool-to-the-touch covers and motion absorption to help minimize sleep disruptions from partners, pets, or kids. Shop the all-new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
Adam Carolla.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get on. The church we're going to mend it. Get it on and welcome the best 15 minutes or so in the universe. It's Beyond a Reasonable Doubt. I'm Adam Carolla. That's Mark Garagus in New York City.
Beautiful day in the borough today. And I'm delighted to see you. And what a story we're going to talk about. I can hardly wait to hear your analysis here.
Yeah, I've been hearing bits and pieces of this story that have been breaking over the last several days. But, Mark, you probably have a better handle on it than I. So why don't you get it started?
So we've covered before this family who is in South Carolina, who has an outsized legal presence in the legal community there. Three or four generations going back in, of powerful, well thought of lawyers in the community about, I don't know, Gary, what was the date in a tragic, awful situation? A lawyer's wife and his son were murdered. And then coming on the heels of that, on this weekend, Friday, the lawyer who has suffered through that tragedy, apparently resigned from his law firm after a forensic accountant revealed that millions of dollars of the firm's money had allegedly been embezzled. He's then driving his car somewhere on the side of the road, has a flat, is fixing his tire. And his story is that somebody drove past him and then turned around, came back, and shot him in the head. He was airlifted to a hospital. I'm getting reports now, though, that it may have only been a graze shot, meaning it just grazed his head, and he's already been released from the hospital. And you might remember that the son who was murdered also was accused of complicity in a manslaughter of yet another case. And there were allegations there of the outsized influence, getting those charges rejected. But I have a theory here, Adam. You know, you're the one who's gotten me addicted to conspiracy theories. Would you like to hear my conspiracy theory?
I would. Yes, please.
Or do you need more facts?
No, I was sort of thinking about this guy's driving along, gets a flat, and someone tries to assassinate him. that feels spurious or weird to me. I mean, if there was, in fact, a hit on somebody, you wouldn't tell them just drive around the neighborhood and have the off chance this guy's going to run over a drywall screw. You know, so it seems weird that he was shot at and then grazed. And, you know, if in fact somebody said, I must kill this person, a contract, so to speak, put out on them, it seems like a weird way to go about doing it. But so that whole part is pretty curious. But yes.
I've also wondered why he was airlifted if it was the superficial wound that they are now reporting. To airlift someone is an endeavor.
Yeah, I agree. Why that couldn't have been assessed, you know, on the ground, I have no idea. It could also just be protocol. If there's a gunshot wound to the head, maybe they don't know if there's an exit wound. I mean, who the hell knows? But
I can see that because as somebody who's had head injuries, you know, not just being dropped on my head, but there, you know, that's it can get bloody pretty quick, and you it's difficult to assess immediately what's going on, I suppose, right?
Yeah. So your theory, Mark.
Okay. So this is my theory. Originally, I thought that there was a good working theory, and my guess was the prosecutors were looking into the connection because they had reopened the, or at least reportedly, according to the police, had reopened the prior, I believe it was a boating accident involving the son who was murdered, mm-hmm. and that they had found evidence during the search. So that kind of was the cops telegraphing that, you know, they were headed in that direction. This, however, you know, I know his lawyer. I have not reached out to him, and I don't know that I'd want to put him in the position. But the lawyer revealed that not only had there been, or it was revealed, that he had resigned from the firm, that there was money allegedly missing, that he was going into rehab. And, Gary, in the statement, I think I texted you something that gave me a clue. I think he talked about a long battle. So for those who are speculating that the substance abuse or whatever, or the addiction, whatever it was, and by the way, gambling can be an addiction, that it had been a long battle. I think that there's probably prosecutors and police on a working theory that he had incurred all kinds of, he had some kind of a either gambling or substance abuse addiction that caused the purloining of the money, from the law firm. Then was this a shooting, or was it self-inflicted? And if there was a shooting, was that somebody sending him a message? And were the previous murders of his wife and child a collection effort? Was somebody trying to come through to send a message, hey, you're into us for serious money, and we're serious about our collections.
Well, that's as you were talking about embezzlement and then gambling addiction and then him going into rehab, which could be gambling addiction. It started turning the gears in my head, because you can be addicted to pot or addicted to booze or even cocaine, but you can underwrite that, you know, on a good lawyer salary. Gambling.
Yeah, the Richard Pryor line, cocaine is just God's the way of telling you make too much money.
Right. But gambling, that's another animal completely. And so if he worked up a debt with the wrong people, and when it comes to gambling, it's always the wrong people. That's a pretty decent theory that they were trying to collect and sending a message. Now, as far as the graze to the head and the car breaking down, that's again sounds like a low percentage sort of mob hit to me. As a matter of fact, it was funny when I was talking to Sammy the Bull Gravano, who was on my podcast.
Who you had on ACS just last week, right?
Interesting guy, killed a lot of people. But, you know, so I sort of said, so when you got to kill a guy in the mob, how's it work? Like, you stake out his house. You know, in the movies, they're staking out the house. They're staking out the Guma's apartment. They're staking out his favorite eatery. And he goes, no, we don't want him running around, and we don't want the family involved, and we're not going to hit him at home in front of his kids. We're not going to do any of that in front of witnesses and stuff like that. We just call him in for a meeting. And then they call you in for a meeting, and you come in and you go, what's the meeting about? And you get a 44 to the back of your head, and you don't know it. You don't struggle. You don't fight. You're just called in for a meeting. That's how they do most of their hits.
You know, it's funny you say that. Do you ever ask Sammy about my favorite line? The difference between the mob or organized crime and the government is at least organized crime spares the women and children. your point is extremely well taken. I mean, this story. To quote the late, great Larry King, gets curiouser and curiouser. And everything about this supposed shooting yesterday on the same day that he resigns from the law firm and announces he's going into rehab. And I mean, talk about a day that you really would like to relive, right? The forensic accounting firm has told me that they've confirmed I've embezzled millions of dollars. I'm now resigning from my law firm. I'm coming on the heels of my wife and my son being killed. And on top of it, I get a flat tire, and then some guy grazes me with a brushback gunshot pitch.
What do you got, Gary?
So let's recap. I just want to put a finer point on this. This family has had quite a stretch here. So in June of in 2019, rather, there's the boating accident, and the son is drunk, and there's an investigation, all that.
He
killed a 19-year-old friend of his. In June of 2021, he and his mother are murdered by two separate gunmen at their home, and their bodies are left to be found. Then this guy. So then, in the course of the investigation,
this guy found the bodies. Right.
He did. Yeah. But before we get to this guy. In the course of the investigation of the murder, the cops open up a murder of another guy from 2015 that they believe now that the son and some other local youth may have been involved in killing because he was gay. So then this guy shoots himself in the head, or is shot in the head, depending on how you're, you know, going to interpret it, resigns from his law firm, goes into rehab for speculations of gambling or opioids. Four cases in 6 years.
Right. Yeah, so I don't know, Mark. I mean, your job is on one hand is to ignore all of this. You know, if there's smoke, there's not necessarily fire. I mean, that's part of your job. There's the, you know, oh, he killed his wife. They were arguing, you know, in the days going up to it. You have to go ignore that. Or there was threats. Someone in another booth in the diner they were sitting at said they thought he heard him say he's going to kill her, you know, blah, blah, blah. But you have to kind of go ignore all that. We got to stay with the nuts and the bolts. Did he do this or not? But in your professional opinion, when there's this much surrounding somebody, it seems like that somebody's involved with something.
Yeah, well, look, the key piece in my mind, just, and it's probably because I've seen it happen so many times, the missing money, and not insubstantial. We're not talking chump change here. We're talking real money, missing money from the law firm. And then the coming on the heels of the multiple murders and the dropped prosecution. I mean, it just screams that there's somebody or something trying to collect a debt and send a message here.
It also is there, since he was so ensconced in this world, it seems like there was a lot of favors, possibly with judges or prosecutors, attorneys, congressmen, you know, people, politicians, things of that nature. Is there here's a second thought, which is this guy may turn state's evidence and sing like a canary, much like Sammy the Bull Gravano did, to get out of essentially Sammy the Bull Gravano was involved with killing 19 people and went and turned state's evidence and basically got a slap on the wrist. You know what I mean? I mean, there's a way to get out of 19, being involved in 19 murders makes you a serial killer, and it means you're going to go in jail for, you know, consecutive life terms or the death penalty. But there's a way to work with the government, but you gotta give them something for that. Do you think this guy had something?
Yeah, you know, he obviously, given who he is, has the wherewithal, the means, and certainly he's got the access to the legal talent that could advise him that, hey, if you're ever going to cut a deal, now's the time to cut a deal. I mean, look, going into the rehab, the day that you've been exposed allegedly for a massive embezzlement is going to, that sends, you know, a flashing red light to me that somebody's looking to mitigate a bad situation. And what you're describing is trying to mitigate a really bad situation. And if he was, if he knows or has a pretty good suspicion as to what happened with this double execution style murder, that's a chit he will undoubtedly try to play.
Just a curveball, unless Gary's got more in this particular case.
We're going to have more on it in the episodes to come. We might even get some guests involved. We'll see. But yeah.
It's weird that Bill Cosby's at home right now. It just kind of popped into my head, right? What do you think Bill Cosby's doing right now? Is he having an English muffin?
I assume he's listening to this.
Is he watching Wheel of Fortune? Like,
he's eating pudding.
Yeah, he's having Jello pudding. It just, it was so.
How
fun.
Did you go to Bill Cosby?
I don't know. I just sort of blinked my eyes in my brain and realized, oh, he's home. Like we kind of that I don't know what happened during that news cycle, but it was a 32-hour news cycle. It was like Bill Cosby's going home. And then at some point, we all just collectively turned the page and got on to Afghanistan or global warming or something, ivermectin or something.
Well, you want to take that? I'll give you one more. How about the fact that Harvey Weinstein is sitting in custody in Twin Towers in Los Angeles and Andrew Cuomo is no longer the governor of New York and the entire Time's Up board resigned in mass because of it. And what do you think Weinstein's thinking as he's sitting in his cement chateau over there in downtown LA? Like, what the hell? What? Bill Cosby's home. I'm sitting in a cell. Cuomo resigns and Time's Up all resigns.
Has there ever been a time that you can remember where the zeitgeist affected the legal outcomes, like what goes on? I mean, we had the Derek Chauvin trial. As I say, Chauvin shows up to something that's already in process. You know, he's called. George Floyd is already struggling, what have you. He gets murder. Which it seems like, you know, manslaughter maybe didn't seem like it rose to the level of murder. The cop that shoots the gal in the neck during the insurrection slash riot, he's exonerated. I mean, has there ever been a time when the zeitgeist, the news cycles, social media affected infected the inside of a courtroom like it has now?
You know, it's interesting you say that because back in the 90s and the early 2000s, I used to write and lecture on the politicalization of criminal law. And I think maybe the next move now is to start writing about the social media polarization of the criminal law, because it sure seems like movements, and I've talked about this, and it's just starting to get traction with some publications. People ask me, do social media movements help? And I say, of course they do. I mean, they help whatever side is trying to galvanize the movement. And it's, you know, you want to temper that. Some of these things are good. Some of these things are damn frightening. I mean, you know, the idea that somebody is going to be influenced by the, you know, the Christians and the Lions and the audience with thumbs up or thumbs down, we always thought was a bad thing. And that people don't even know, going back to belt and suspenders, they don't even know what I'm talking about when I refer to that now.
All right. Well, an ominous note to go out on.
That's the second show in a row we've gone out kind of ominously. I got to start doing something to go out on a high note.
I will be this Friday, Royal Oak, Michigan, Royal Oak Music Theater, doing a show there. And then Saturday, I'll be in Kansas City at the Arvest Bank Theater there. I'll be all over the place. Just go to AdamCarolla.com and you can check out our Pluto TV channel, our chassis channel, 687. Lots of free material there. What do you got, Mark?
I got the Provas, both in New York, are back open, doing gangbusters. Come by GCT or the Moxie at Times Square. Go to Engine Company downtown or Mediterranean Tapas at 10E, Casa Tropicana in San Clemente, one of Gary's favorite places, and the V Palm Springs Hotel. Or if you're in the Hamptons, stop by, have a meal at Naya, and stay the night.
So until next time, Adam Carolla for Mark Garagos saying mahalo.
Thanks for listening to Beyond a Reasonable Doubt. Stay tuned for more bonus episodes coming soon.
Hey there, Brenda.
It's Carol.
Exactly. So which leg are we operating on?
You mean arm?
It's all connected.
Asking the right question can greatly impact your future.
Are you sure you're an orthopedist?
Actually, I'm a Sagittarius.
Especially when it comes to your finances.
Do you have a question? Are you a certified financial planner?
Yes, I'm a CFP professional.
CFP professionals are committed to acting in your best interest. That's why it's gotta be a CFP. Find your CFP professional at letsmakeaplan.org.
This is a big year. The Ohio Lottery's golden anniversary. 50 years of excitement, of growing jackpots and crossed fingers. 50 years of funding for schools, of changed lives and brightened days. 50 years of fun. And that is worth celebrating. So watch for can't-miss promotions, huge events, and new games that will make the Ohio Lottery's 50th year its biggest one yet. Learn more at funturns50.com.